Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Niche Podcast, but the one thing I know something about, game shows, I suppose. I'm your host, Jordan Haas. Happy 4th of July! I don't know if it's the 4th of July on Friday, but we know that it is a theme song, and that's why this show is called Let's Ask America. Yeah. So today's episode, we're talking about Let's Ask America! Oh yeah, now this is one of those cool game shows that I really love. And it's been a while since I got to talk about a game show I really enjoy. And Let's Ask America is hands down one of the most innovative game shows to ever come out of the last 20 years. I am not kidding, I am being very dead ass, as it were. Because in the time of a pandemic, everyone's working from home and doing Zoom calls. And this is a game show from like 2012, like less than a decade ago. Like the last 10 years, the 2010s. This is the coolest game show. They had people calling in from Skype to play a game show where they can win $50,000. And it's not like any other game show because it kind of followed that realm of card sharks. These were all very silly questions about either or based on opinion polls and statistics. So kind of like Power of 10, kind of like Play the Percentages, kind of like Power of 10, but it was done in home and it was very casual. It was such a chill game show to see. And it's one of those shows where it's like, man, I think the problem lied in distribution and it lied in production. If you want me the quick story of this, Kevin Pereira was better than Bill Bellamy. The show had two hosts, Kevin Pereira and Bill Bellamy. Bill Bellamy did season 3, Kevin Pereira did season 1 and 2, and yes, the G4 fan in me is definitely showing in this one, and I am indeed showing my bias. So, Kevin Pereira did Attack of the Show on G4, you know who that show is. That had Olivia Munn, that had pop culture, comic books, science fiction, San Diego Comic-Con coverage, weird YouTube videos, and technology galore. And Kevin Pereira, who I remember way, way, way back in the day of Planet Quake, I think was his message board, doing like ventrilo prank calls on people during gaming sessions and putting them online. He was a G4 guy, and he was just like having fun. Now he's back at G4 doing Attack of the Show. So, hey, maybe in like 10 years he returns to do Let's Ask America. But yeah, so it was a really cool show, and he did all this technology stuff. So the branding of doing like this technology forward game show with Kevin Pereira actually didn't seem that crazy to begin with. He's really good at improvisation. He's really good at interacting with people and chatting with people on Skype. So this was really up his forte, as it turns out. He was a versatile host. And the questions that they asked on Let's Ask America were very silly kind of things. Like, would you rather own a... We've asked people who have no pets, would they rather have a cat or a dog? We asked bakers... for wedding cakes, which according to your orders, what do they order more of, chocolate or vanilla? And it just becomes different kind of sillier questions, or like, if you could only have one beverage for the rest of your life, what would it be? We asked daycare center workers, how do you stop a baby that's crying? We asked people who work at cell phone kiosks, have you ever dropped the phone in the toilet? Like, things that are card sharks level, but silly and funny, and things for Kevin to banter off of to these contestants so they can write down the answers. So, what the show is really simple. In round one, there's 3 questions for $100, $200, and $300. And if you're right, you get the money. If you're wrong, you don't get the money. There's no consequence for wrong answer. You just don't get the money. Everyone gets to answer the same questions. And in round one, there's only 2 possible. It's an A-B quiz. whoever scores the lowest among the four is eliminated from the game, and it becomes three people. It goes 100 for question one, 200 for question two, 300 for question three, 400 for question four. We do the break because it's four questions in question one. Lowest scores out. If there's a tie, there is a dash for cash. A dash for cash is kind of really my favorite thing because there's a dog that shows up. His name is Cash, and he just like and everyone just loves the dog, and like almost kind of like Attack of the Show. You hear the crew members go, "Yeah, woo, yeah!" And just so much fun. Anyway, so it becomes basically kind of like a mini stunt game. So, it basically kind of like a Monty Hall for $100. I want you to bring me back something. So, for instance, I want you to bring me a roll of toilet paper and unwind it. If I can see an empty cardboard tube, you're going through to the next round. Like, that's a dash for cash challenge. Or I want you to bring me back two eggs and I want you to crack them on your forehead. That's the game. It's very silly, kind of loosely messy challenges. But it's nothing harmless. It's just all silly practice. Silly games, and whoever comes back the slowest is limited. In round in season two, they changed it so it was you bring me back an answer, and if so, that way if you're both right, whoever brought in the fastest wins. So it was like book or pen, which one is the better utensil amongst authors, and they would just run over and grab the item. And if they get eliminated, there was like a little stamp that says eliminated, and then they get plunged off the screen, and then there's three left with three more questions worth $500, $1,000, and $1,500, respectively. And then it goes on to the final round, because once again, after questions for $500, $1,000, and $1,500, with round two, it's three answers, so it's now an ABC game, and that's why the money's worth more. We go into the final round with two players, and now there's only two questions. We went from four to three to two. You see what we're doing here? The more people there are, the more more questions there are. So four contestants, four questions. Three contestants, three questions. Two contestants, two questions. The first one is worth $2,000. The final question of round two, because there's only two, is worth $4,000. It is a bit of a tiebreaker kind of game because of $4,000, if you do the math correctly, is very, very game-breaky. Because 40% of the overall score, because if you play a perfect game, it's $10,000. Whoever has the most money at the end of round three gets to basically gamble that money in final round. So we're down to one last player. The bonus round, as you can figure out here, is only one question because it went from four to three to two to one. Now in this round, it kind of plays like a daily double. You can wager as little or as much of your money as possible, up to $10,000. But there is a slight catch. If it's you risk a little bit and you're right, you get the money. If you're wrong, you lose that money. So if you had like $8,000 in your bank and you risk $6,000, well, you'll either get $14,000 or $2,000. But there is a catch. If you decide to do all in and risk every dollar you made up to this point, you're not playing for double your money. You're playing for five times the money. Meaning that if you play a perfect game and get 10 for 10, you get $50,000, which is a lot of money. Of course, you have to be really risky and really courageous to get one final question with four possible answers, and it's the toughest question of the game. If you're wrong, you lose everything. Now, in season one, there was a rule where if you went all in, no matter what happens, you get $1,000 as a consolation. They dropped it in season two and season three. And maybe that's kind of a reason the show might have left on a bad note. The more the show progressed, the less of a budget kind of showed up, where it sounded like they didn't want to cough up money. And I'm going to tell you right now, any longtime viewer here of game shows, I suppose, will know, the second a game show looks like it's rigged against a contestant, and I mean the appearance of rigged, or an appearance of it being cheap and lowering the budget of the show, viewers won't tune in. It's okay for a game show to give more money, but too much could risk a consequence as well. It's that perfect middle. You don't want to go too low or too high. Just a steady amount is enough. And personally, if you're talking about a show about America, and America's the theme, and there's like an American flag, and there's like a road map of America, and interstate highway signs, and all sorts of weird shit, it makes sense that if your theme is America, $50,000 is the top prize, because 50 states. You can easily make the connection. You can even make the connection 76,000 if you wanted to, because 76. But we'll stick with 50,000 because that's game show clean, and it also is very Americana, as it were. So we see such an amazing quiz show. It's such an innovative technology. The fact that this is all done through Skype, people calling in on a webcam, with these little note cards that were sent in by the crew. They get a t-shirt, a hat, maybe a water bottle, markers, a whole bunch of cards, and they're like, "Hey, Kevin, how's it going? I'm from Detroit." Because no one here is from, it's not all people from Los Angeles or New York. This is all 50 states. People from Alaska, Washington, Oregon, Nevada, Montana. I'm going to name all 50 states. And they're hanging out with Kevin Pereira in the studio through a webcam in a phone call conversation because they have the internet. And that alone is really innovative technology. The fact the grand prize is $50,000, the top prize is 50 grand, is also a big light up, because it was a syndicated show on Scripps stations. Season 2 was kind of weird. They kind of tried to sell the syndication. Season 3, also weird, went back to Scripps, but it also aired on GSN. It was so weird. But $50,000 for a syndicated game show that had a very lower budget was actually kind of innovative. Because where I'm coming from right now, if I had to paint the picture, we're seeing a lot of game shows do that game show network $10,000. Game show minimum, 10 grand. Some shows, 15,000. Family Feud gives away 20 grand. So it's in that low five digits. And $50,000 is the top prize. If you play a perfect game, you get 50 grand. And that is a kind of a big cash prize, as it were. But you have to be really risky. You have to risk $10,000 to try and get $50,000. And imagine you risked everything and you got it wrong. You would feel really, really bad about yourself. But it is quite an amazing game show and quite a great format. Kevin Pereira in season 1, there was this cool little like, they tried to have a co-host and tried to make it sort of like Attack of the Show, where she would be offering statistics and percentages, and I think that was the original intention for the show. And then it became more about bantering with the contestants and Kevin than it was the co-host. And then in season 2, they changed it a bit more, where it was Kevin Pereira, but now like a big set and a big shiny thing, and it kind of didn't look Americana. It kind of looked like game shows filmed inside an internet, which maybe was the point, because they're going for an online World Wide Web kind of show. And Kevin Pereira was a great host for this show, given the technology, given the fact it's all about opinions, and he had this quick reflex and quick ways to tell jokes to people. This was, like, right up his alley. This was quite the show. the questions were always somewhere in the middle. It's always an opinion show, and then it's always somewhat risque. It wasn't going full-on Family Feud, which at the time, you know, they were doing Penis Steve. But there was a catch. $50,000 in season one, if you fail, you get $1,000 no matter what. In season two, there's no more $1,000 handout. Now it's just, you don't get anything, thanks for playing. Which is still okay. I mean, giving away nothing, you're still getting consolation prize of the t-shirt and hat. But then season three. Oof. Season three. So, where it stood. With all of this love I had for Let's Ask America, these funny questions, Kevin Pereira, I'm talking G4 here. They decided to cheapen the show. And not for the better. The top prize is now $35,000. They don't have a... They lost $15,000 on the top prize. Kevin Pereira is no longer hosting. They got rid of Kevin. They never explained why Kevin had to go. It wasn't... He had other commitments because... It's Kevin Pereira. Who are we kidding? But... It just felt like a weird, different show. And it was hosted by Bill Bellamy. Now, Bill Bellamy is a comedian. I remember him from the 90s. I remember him from MTV. He was one of the main comedian kind of hosts at the time. And seeing him do this show, I don't know what the connection was. I honestly just think they wanted... just a comedian to host the show. They were trying to do the Steve Harvey effect because this was the early 2010s. Family Feud with Steve Harvey's all the rage. Well, let's get all the kings of comedy. Let's get Cedric the Entertainer to do It's Worth What. Let's try our best to see what we can do with the ghost of Bernie Mac. And let's get Bill Bellamy because he's young in 2010s. And it didn't work. He didn't gel with any of the contestants. Mind you, this is all online. So he's trying his best to do like his usual routine of like telling jokes at the contestants. And they just flat out stunk. The values on the questions changed. I think it was like 1,200, 3, 4, 5. And then it went 750, 1,000, 1,250, then 1,500, and then I think $2,000. I think that was the values. And then of all that, then you go on to the 5 or nothing final round to win, once again, $35,000, which doesn't have the same cleanliness as $50,000. Why 35? Why such a weird number? Oh, you know, because reasons. To make matters worse, in a lot of the promotionals, they still showed season one and Kevin Pereira and the Americana set. And now they're in the futuristic set with this whole different logo. They tried to repurpose the show for Ohio with Bob Gowen, mind you, too, called Let's Ask Ohio. They tried to sell this show off to Let's Ask France, I think Philippines. It became such a weird show, mind you. And through all the technology, in all of this ahead of the curve I saw in the show, it and the innovation, the questions, it was entertaining. This was the first game show I could think of besides Family Feud that tried to put up as many clips as they can of the episode as soon as it aired on YouTube. Jeopardy barely got into that. Family Price is Right didn't do that. Let's Make a Deal didn't do that. Jeopardy and Wheel didn't do it. It was just Family Feud and Let's Ask America. That was it. It was just not pleasant. That thrill felt lost to me. And, maybe rightfully so, because the audience wasn't there season three, and they pulled the plug. There was no season four. So then the question, obviously it would be like, was Bill Bellamy the issue here? I mean, yes, but also it's not Bill Bellamy's fault. I think Bill Bellamy just agreed to do this show because it's a game show, easy work. He's a comedian trying to get back on his feet as a comedian. It was part of the time of the 2012s, but it didn't necessarily fit his work ethic. I think he's a comedian. He should be having a comedy show. He should be having like a talent competition show. He should have had America's Got Talent. He could have had a Last Comic Standing, some Comedy Central game show. It wasn't Let's Ask America, though. Let's Ask America did not fit his MO. The show losing like most of its budget also didn't sit well, because we went from people risking like $6,000, $7,000, $7,900 to now like, you have $3,000. You want to risk it for $15,000? Wowie zowie, what a lot of money. That doesn't make for interesting television because it's low stakes. At least if it's like $50,000, that's like a real thing to set on. You have $10,000. You can risk $9,000, get $19,000, which is still kind of low, but enough for a one-and-done game, yes. If you had $5,000, you can risk it all for $25,000. That's still a pretty hefty sum of money. But they never fully committed to the show, I think. I think this show worked because of its innovation, because of its pulse, because it could have been of the moment, even. They could have had current event issues be a question. They could have had so many other things to add to the show, and yet they chose not to. And that is the saddest part of this. Kevin Pereira, great host on this show. The format, perfect. Even if the $4,000 question at the end is somewhat game-breaking, it didn't fully ruin the show, because most of the time people got it wrong anyway. And when you consider opinion-based game shows, that like How Do You Like Your Eggs, in instance, this was like one of the best ones out there, even. But when it came to Bill Bellamy's version, they went all in on the penis Steve questions, all in on sex, all in on the sex. And I don't think that, look, sex questions are funny when it's not just blatant. Like on Family Feud, you want the contestant to say sex, because then the appearance is sex was on the mind of the contestant when they said it. So it's a setup to a punchline with Steve Harvey. When you just have the host say, yeah, we as 100 people best plate to fuck. Like, no, it just doesn't work that way. So the easiest thing is, should this show come back? Yes. Because we, like, during this pandemic, this entire time, I've been living this pandemic and seeing Zoom calls and Zoom meetings and TV shows. We're back to normal now, thanks to vaccinations, thanks to stay-at-home orders, thanks to all sorts of social distancing, wearing masks, and just trying to kill out a coronavirus. You isolate the incident. You basically cancel culture the coronavirus, and then it goes away. It becomes the kind of thought-provoking that this show could have easily returned. The technology was there, and the technology is still going on now. It's kind of surprising that it did not. I'm not going to go into details of if I rebooted this, what would it be? Because you could have easily just looked at 2012, Let's Ask America of Kevin Pereira Season 1, point to that and go, that again, and you're done. That's all you have to do. Look at Season 1, Let's Ask America, point to it and go, that. Because that was a near-perfect game show. I say near-perfect because obviously the $4,000 question Also, it was Kevin Pereira, and some of the jokes still don't land that much because it's Kevin Pereira, and he has a certain quirky internet sense of humor. But it, on a game show standpoint, where the selling point is you don't have to be a celebrity. You don't have to be in LA or New York to audition. You don't have to fly out. You can stay at home. You can wear pajama pants. It doesn't matter. It was so ahead of the curve. It was so futuristic. And to me, that was the biggest sell. That was the coolest thing about Let's Ask America. It's a game show where anybody could play. Anybody! It was such an innovative game show with all sorts of different aspects that I don't think people take credit for at the time, from the production team in the background to the internet and having electronics team make sure everyone's safe. Skypes, you have to make sure there's some contestant coordinator on the speakerphone going, yeah, that's great, now can you all applaud? A stage manager filling in Kevin on the questions and when to go to commercial. Like, there was two separate things going on at the same time, and Kevin juggling that shows he's a good host. Bill Bellamy did that too, but he had to resort to being a comedian because at the time, that's what they hired him for, to tell jokes. And it, when you go from giving maybe $50,000 to maybe $35,000, and even then, you have to go all in and risk $7,000, it loses its credibility. I think the issue with the show is that maybe it just was the worst timing and distribution. It was Scripps channels, Scripps syndication stations, that aired it first. Then it went to syndication. Then it went to Game Show Network. And syndication game shows are tough. Look at things like Street Smarts. Something like Let's Ask America is such a fun show that it could have worked in syndication with the right production team behind it, the right distribution center doing it. And if we're being really sincere here, a right social media team. Because at the time of 2012, social media companies were on the rise. Boom, everything is up. And these companies, they could have made Let's Ask America the, like, this is the internet game show. This is the game show where we're going to Twitch stream this Monday through Friday. If you want to be a contestant, go to Twitch, or in this case, I guess because it's 2012, Justin TV, livestream.org, and watch along with us. Now, obviously, it was a game show, so most likely they also could have recorded every game in studio for a single day. So they could have filmed five a day for 40 episodes. But something about it, if they just made it of the day with the contestants of the day and still offer that $50,000 prize and it being live maybe or on Twitch, you would be on to something. Because this is a game show where anybody can play, anyone can win. And Kevin had the technology and he had the hosting skills. But I think they only got so much that they didn't see the potential to go all the way with it. With everything going online, with all of these streaming services, with all of these ways for people to call in, Zoom call, Discord, you pick your Slack, your voice over IP is a choice. This show could have easily made a comeback. And the distribution center could have easily just been the internet. You just had to really sell into it and try and offer the money. And obviously, and this is just what I'm throwing this out here with, obviously, they had the financials. They just couldn't fully commit to it. That's all. What happened is, if they just would have went maybe live or they had a different producer or production channel, but kept the format alive, kept the Zoom calls, kept everything, it could have worked. And to me, that's the makings of a good game show. Let's Ask America. Season one had a fantastic set. If they just kept going with that, like, American barbecue restaurant-looking thing, I'm sure it's a whole nother story. Because, like, what if a barbecue restaurant had a server? Like, that was kind of the set. Season two, no. Season three, no. But season three had an audience, though, so they could laugh. Yeah, I know, it's not good. But hey, G4's coming back, so I guess it's not the end of the world at all, right? So, ultimately, the big takeaway here is sometimes, even when a game show looks bad or it looks cheap back in the day, like Let's Ask America, there is innovation in certain areas that you could take and adapt to it to 2021 to see where we are today and see that it could have worked. It just people couldn't see it. And when you're so forward thinking and some people are too non-adaptive and too focused on the now or the past, sometimes a show like that could fail. And it's not the fault of the show. It's just the fault of America. And this Independence Day, we should be more forward-thinking and vote progressive. That's right, folks. I'm signing off with political statements. Black lives matter. Trans rights are human rights. LGBT rights in general are human rights. And yes, stop AAPI hate. And yes, did I mention social justice warriors is just a figment of your imagination and was just constructed by neoconservatives to discredit any sort of progressive agenda because of their own adherence to Tumblr because of their disliking of fandoms back in the day. They also mentioned that, you know, Black Lives Matter. I will say that again. Black Lives Matter. Also, I'll point this out here. You know, I'm bi, right? Like, I like trans and I like gay rights. Why would I not? And also, if we're gonna fully end this Let's Ask America thing, opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one. My opinion is that we spend a little too much time looking at opinion polls and treat them like news. And we kind of focus too heavily on news to scare us rather than to inform us of what is, you know, the right thing to do. You can say we're at war, but why are we at war and why is that bad is kind of never addressed. And that's not just in America, that's globally. We vote, and politicians love to play a game of politics, and they play with human bodies as the pawns. And I don't think that should have ever happened in this country. And I am ashamed we have politicians that will basically kill off trans people and kill off homeless people if it means maybe getting $20,000 for a little program here that, you know, was not even the $50,000 that they requested. It's $20,000. Or approving millions and billions for military when they throw veterans under the bus time and time again. I think we have a really shit VA program, and I think our military system is also very, very corrupt, and I don't care about drone strikes or dropping bombs. I think war is the shittiest thing you could do, because you're just basically in a slap fight, and slap fights are just kind of for people who have really tiny dicks in general. Have you ever seen people in fights? they're not really macho people. They have the aura that you're supposed to believe they are macho alpha males. But they really just come across like belligerent assholes. Like, they never stand for what's right. It's just for myself. It's all like selfish behavior. And I don't trust that. And ultimately, I think a game show should be diverse and inclusionary and should be for everyone. And time again, I see within the game show fandom, people talking shit about, like, a black person hosting a game show, a woman hosting a game show, a black lady especially hosting a game show, someone gay hosting a game show. And it's like, whenever I see those comments, I always think we have to keep fighting, because if things like this still exist, there's a reason there's a Pride Festival, and there's still a reason there's injustice in this world. That I'm sick of hearing people go, stop bringing politics into things when, you know, you mistake diversity hires for just basic human decency and inclusion. We gave everyone an audition, and this person, in our opinion, did the best job. You ignore that they auditioned, and we believe they did a good job for... They're a diversity hire. They're just doing that because everyone's black. I don't think Bill Bellamy got hired because he was a black comedian either. I think he was just hired because it's a comedian. And he was available. Like, that was it. But people will think that because there's all these weird labels and all of these dividers. And when you see people try and include people and say Black Lives Matter or Trans Lives Matter, they always get jaded because in some people's minds, that means there's not a seat at the table for them. When in reality, the seats are all open and you're just throwing chairs into the ocean to try and stop them from sitting at the table. When, at least to me, I wish to have as many friends as possible. I wish to be liked. And to be liked, you just have to like people in general. And to me, that's why I have a nice, diverse group of friends. And I think a lot of people in the game show world throw homophobic slurs out in the open. Have a closed brain because they want everything to be back to the 1970s or the 1960s or the 1950s or the Reagan era 80s. Or, I guess with next generation Zoomers, the George W. Bush 2000s, which is like the weirdest fucked up thing you can think of. That it becomes a real struggle, mind you. Now, we've done an episode about The Apprentice with Donald Trump. We haven't done Trump Card yet, though. It was an okay game show. But I liked it better as Bob's Full House. But Donald Trump sucked as a president, and he was just an irrational asshole who appealed to the hatred of this country because of illogical statistics and illogical fears they have with their neighbors. And you don't want to accept people for who they are because you don't get it. And because you don't get it, you would rather just throw them out. Say a slur. Go into the, oh, I don't know why that's bad. Or backpedal. And ultimately, I think this game show fandom can get inclusive and can fight for what's right. Now, you can't stop the assholes and you can't stop the races from watching game shows because you need as many eyeballs as possible. But what I would argue is that if you're friends with these assholes, being homophobic, being racist, being sexist, let them know they're being that. If they start preaching that bullshit cancel culture garbage, let them know, well, if we want to cancel our friendship because you wish to continue this, then that's fine. because that is how people can grow and progress. You are not entitled to someone's time. If there is issues, speak up. Let them know. Hold people accountable. Believe it or not, just because they're, in your mind, the only people who talk game shows, and if you don't want to be friends with them, that means they're not your friend. Yeah, maybe there's other people in the world that love game shows, and they're just not that asshole-ish. Throwing it out there. You just have to fight for what's right. And yes, we're ending the 4th of July episode, but Let's Ask America with political statements. Mostly because it's 4th of July. This is the day we celebrate voting. I wouldn't say vote because there are politicians who do voter suppression and guidelines to prevent, once again, irrational fears they might have. And then you have news teams throwing irrational fears to its viewers. It just becomes horrifying and terrible. And I think the reason people love game shows so much, and this is my concluding message, the reason people love game shows, and the reason I think many people like me enjoy game shows, is because in a world that's so mean, in the world that's so evil, and there's so much prejudice, and there's so much horror, that there's at least a half hour or an hour of television that you can turn it off for just a moment and just watch some people run around with a shopping cart grabbing items, or answer trivia questions about geography, or just solve a basic word search puzzle. It's because it's non-dangerous. It's non-combative. It is just lighthearted entertainment and fun. You don't really know the politics of these people until it becomes a game show like Survivor or Big Brother. It's more about just playing a game and having fun. And when you cut that to politics, and this is why I'm sure people say stick to the game shows, stay away from politics, which I say, have you ever heard Honest Toss? Have you ever listened to Funtime Calls? I mean, holy shit. People tune out from the horrors of the real world by watching game shows. But that shouldn't mean that those issues aren't prevalent in the real world. There's still bad things happening. The last year was all COVID and Black Lives Matter. And then people fighting because racism isn't real, or cops aren't bad, or blah, blah, all sorts of weird irregularities. And then weird fears like the Joker's going to make people into incels. Like, it was weird. But when it comes to game shows, you're clapping for people winning toasters for answering questions that are completely useless and most relevancy of the world. Hence, trivia. So, ultimately, game shows are fundamentally a positive impact, but they shouldn't be the end-all, be-all. And all I gotta say before we end this show, Let's Ask America was a great game show. It should be rebooted. There's nothing for me to say about that. So instead, I'm going to spend this time talking about politics and basically saying Tories suck, the Republican Party sucks, the GOP is terrible, and yes, I will say this, the answer is not in the middle, because when things shift to the right more and more, or the left more and more, it's the center is different center. And for me personally, I'd rather be as left as possible, as progressive as possible, as forward-thinking as possible. Much like the game show Let's Ask America. Be as forward-thinking as possible while the world is very close-minded and judgmental. Till next time, good night and big smooch. Mwah!